Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Keith Mayer and Wally Mead are back for today's show, and in this episode, they dive deeper into hierarchy expansion and infrastructure improvements found within System Center 2012 Configuration Manager SP1. Tune in as they discuss flexible hierarchy management, migration from one hierarchy to another, cloud services and distribution points with Windows Azure, and support for multiple software update points. Keith, the mic is yours.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another TechNet Radio episode. My name is Keith Mayer, and I'm an IT pro evangelist at Microsoft and the US DPE team. And today our topic is on site hierarchy and system role improvements in Service Pack 1 of System Center 2012 Configuration Manager, which was just recently released for public beta, and it's available for download and evaluation. And we have with us today to help us step through that process, Wally Mead, a Senior Program Manager on the System Client Management team and all-around Config Manager guru. Welcome back, Wally.
Well, good to be here, Keith. Thanks for having me back.
Great, great. Well, I know that your team, Wally, has been doing just a ton of stuff in terms of hierarchy management, making it more flexible for IT pros so that they can more easily adapt their system center hierarchy and structure towards evolving needs within their organization if they start getting into more complex configurations or have to deal with mergers or acquisitions. And I know one of those key areas that a lot of IT pros are really interested in hearing more about is expanding a standalone primary site into a System Center CAS primary site hierarchy. Wally, would you be able to help us step through the high-level overview of that process?
Absolutely. That'd be something I'd love to do. Just as a quick little background before we jump into a slide and then a demo for you. We had this capabilities back in the Configuration Manager 2007 and prior releases of SMS, where we could expand a hierarchy and you could attach, detach sites as you needed to. Then in ConfigMan 2012, because of the changes to SQL Server replication, that feature kind of went away. And so what we found people were doing was a lot of consulting. We're having people what they call future-proof their hierarchy. So even though you as a customer, you might really only need a standalone primary site, what the consultants would do is they would go ahead and have the customer install a CAS first and then their primary site in that CAS in a hierarchy just in the event that in the future they needed to have that. Well, that was causing extra site server licenses, extra hardware, and things that you didn't necessarily have to have, but you wanted to be safe for the future. So we've relaxed that capability and given you that restriction and given you some new capabilities here in the Service Pack 1 release, which I can kick over and show you a slide on real quick and then how to do this live.
Okay, great.
So here I have a quick little slide deck for you to talk about the hierarchy expansion. So what I'm showing here is a standalone primary site. And this is where we expect a vast majority of our customers to be, that they'll only ever need a single primary site. But again, in the RTM of ConfigMan 2012, they weren't always sure, so they would install a CAS and a primary site even though they needed the one primary site. So with this new capability of hierarchy expansion in the Service Pack 1 release, now what you can do is you can very easily install your standalone primary site, do all your work you need to do, and oh, by the way, now we are expanding. We need to go ahead and move to a hierarchy because we have more number of clients or remote locations or whatever your reason is. So now what you can do is you can take your standalone primary site, and now you can install a brand new central administration site. When you install the central administration site, which I'll show you in a demo here momentarily, you'll be able to install the new central admin site, your CAS, and have it attached to your existing standalone primary site, creating a hierarchy out of these two sites. Now, this is a one-time, one single site attach. Now, at this point in time, we have a hierarchy. So now we have the CAS, we have our primary site. Those two have done all their SQL Server initialization and replication they need to do. Now when we need to expand, now we go ahead and install a brand new primary site directly into that hierarchy. So you install this primary site just like you would today underneath the CAS, and then it would go ahead and do its initialization of global data and site data for replication. And at the end result here, you've taken a standalone primary site, you've expanded it into a hierarchy, including a new CAS and brand new primary sites, and they all do their SQL Server replication, so they all look like they were initially installed in a hierarchy. So now giving you that flexibility to expand your hierarchy as you need to without having to, again, future-proof your hierarchy by creating that CAS and then your primary site when you really only needed a primary site to begin with. And now I can jump over to another demo and show you what this looks like live. So here you see the installation wizard for my brand new central administration site. So I've already got a primary site installed as a standalone primary site, and now I've gone through the first portion of the setup wizard to the part where you see here where it's asking for my site code and name and an installation folder and so on. Now previously I had selected the setup option to install a central administration site server. Remember on that first setup screen you are asked for a primary site server installation or a central administration site server installation. I chose that option, went through the license agreement type stuff and languages and so on. So we're here, I'm naming my site CAS and giving the site name, taking the defaults. Now where all the action and the new stuff happens is on that next screen. So when I click next, now we're asking you, is this going to be the first site in the hierarchy like you would have done in the past? However, what I want to do is say, no, I want to expand an existing primary site. In the RTM code, you had seen this screen when you're installing a primary site. We're asking you, is this going to be a standalone site or joining a hierarchy? It's kind of that same slide or same screen. Now we're just going to say, no, I'm going to join an existing primary site. So I point it to my primary site. I click Next. And if all's good, it takes me onto the next wizard page. If it can't find that primary site for some reason, it'll pop up an error saying, hey, I can't find primary one. I need the rest of the credentials or whatever you need. So this gives me all the information I need to now go ahead and click next, next. I don't want to join the CEIP right now. And now you can see I'm going to install a site type is a central administration site installation. And now I'm ready to roll. So I can go ahead and click next, and it will go ahead and through my prereq check. And once I click begin install, once the prereq check's done, bingo, it will now install my new central administration site and attach with the standalone primary site I already have called primary one, and it will do all that replication stuff that we normally need to have done.
Wow, that's awesome. That's a really easy process and really gives IT pros a lot of flexibility. With SP1, in terms of the sizing guidance that IT pros should think about for choosing a standalone primary site versus a CAS with primary site hierarchy, have there been any changes to that guidance, or is the guidance still primarily the same?
Still primarily the same. So a standalone primary site or a single primary site can support up to 100,000 clients. And as of right now, our hierarchy-wide scalability numbers are still 400,000 clients per hierarchy, which accommodates the vast, vast majority of our customers. In fact, the majority of our customers will only need a standalone primary site, but for those that do happen to go beyond 100,000 clients, they're going to need a hierarchy. Now they can start standalone and expand as they need to.
Sure, that's great. Well, thanks for that great demo, Wally. And I know that the team has also done quite a bit of work in terms of making hierarchy migration from one system center site to another system center site hierarchy possible as well. Can you step us through how that works from a conceptual standpoint?
Sure, and it's very much like the migration feature we have today in the product for migrating your customers from a ConfigMan 2007 environment to a ConfigMan 2012 environment, where they're side-by-side migrations, and we allow you to attach your new site to the old site, the ConfigMan 2012, to go ahead and attach not in a hierarchy aspect, but from a querying aspect, to find what objects you have in the ConfigMan 2007 environment and then migrate those objects over. So now we have this scenario that we just looked at with the hierarchy expansion. But as I mentioned, the hierarchy expansion is a one-time deal. So I can take a standalone primary site, create a hierarchy out of it. But let's say I want to merge two different companies together. So you have one company, Keith, and I have another company. We both have standalone primary sites installed with ConfigMan 2012. How do we merge those together? So that's what this hierarchy migration feature allows us to do. So what we would do is we would go ahead and take one of our two sites, probably whichever one is biggest and has the most objects in it, and we do that hierarchy expansion thing we just looked at. So now we get that little bit of hierarchy created. So now we want to take the other standalone primary site and merge it together. Well, what we do now is we do a hierarchy migration. So we get the two sites or the environment configured we want, and now in this in the PowerPoint here, we have Houston as a primary site and our CAS above that. We have Miami as a standalone primary site with a smaller number of clients. Now what we can do is you can do migration from ConfigMan 2012 Service Pack 1 into another ConfigMan 2012 Service Pack 1 environment. So what you would do is just set up the relationship between the standalone primary site and the hierarchy that you have, whether it's a hierarchy or, again, another standalone primary site, establish that connection, which you couldn't do in the initial release of ConfigMan 2012. It was only ConfigMan 2007 migrating into ConfigMan 2012. Now we have the ConfigMan 2012 SP1 migrating into ConfigMan 2012 SP1. So you establish a relationship, you do the querying to find out which objects you have that are available to migrate, you then create migration jobs, and once you create a migration job, that will help you recreate or migrate those objects in that Miami standalone primary site over into your Houston environment. Once you've got all those jobs migrated over, then what you would do is you would uninstall Miami as a standalone primary site, reinstall it, and when you reinstall it, you attach it into that hierarchy. So you tell it, here's my central administration site computer name. It installs, creates a brand new site there in the hierarchy, and then once it's got in the hierarchy, it replicates all those objects back over to the Miami site. So all you've basically done is taken a standalone primary site, moved it into the hierarchy with this migration of objects and reinstalling the hierarchy scenario. So very, very easy, simple process to handle the mergers and acquisition scenarios that companies do tend to go through every once in a while.
Great, great. Yeah, that seems very straightforward.
Yep, if you know how to migrate from ConfigMan 2012 to ConfigMan 2007 into ConfigMan 2012, you know exactly how to do it here. It's just now between two ConfigMan 2012 SP1 sites.
Well, thanks, Wally, for that great information on hierarchy management and expansion. I know that that your team has also done quite a bit in terms of thinking about how some of the site system roles can be more extensible, leveraging areas like cloud services. And I know one of the areas that is new with SP1 beta is being able to run a distribution point in the Windows Azure cloud. How can you show us how that works in SP1 beta?
Sure, and obviously anything that we have in SP1 beta should be there in the RTM of the product. But
sure.
So what we have in the beta is, here's my console that we have up and running and you're looking at. I'll jump over to the administration workspace. And the first thing I'll show you is I'll just go click on the distribution points. So you should be seeing here that my one distribution point I have in my site. Mm-hmm. But the new thing we have here is if you look right above the mouse, we say type is on-premise. So now because of the fact that we have cloud-based distribution point capabilities, we're now going to designate for you in the admin console whether you're an on-premise DP hosted locally or you're a cloud-based DP so that you know it's something up in the Azure cloud. So that's kind of a cool thing. We let you see what DPs you're looking at. And the nice thing is once you've enabled cloud-based DPs, you manage them just like you manage any other DP. You get to pick and choose which content, which packages, applications, software updates, task sequences, etc., you want to put on those appropriate cloud-based DPs for your features. Now, realistically, when I mentioned all those different types of content, the cloud-based DPs are really only used for software distribution. It doesn't make sense for us to have software updates on a cloud-based DP, because where do you get your software updates anyway? From the cloud. So it doesn't make sense for us to charge customers for storage up in Azure for something you already have up in the cloud. And task sequences being operating system deployment, we're not supporting that today because this is Azure based. So you're paying storage space. You're also paying for downloads, and operating system images tend to be quite large. So right now, those two features are not supported by cloud-based DPs.
Okay.
So how you configure one, if you go to the hierarchy configuration node, and we have a new node here called cloud. All you do is click on the cloud node. I don't have any right now, so I just go up to the ribbon and I say create cloud distribution point. It's a simple little wizard you walk through. The first thing you would do is you'd specify a subscription ID. So that's your subscription ID through Azure. So you have to have an Azure account created. And then you need to have a certificate. So you need a certificate for clients to go ahead and communicate with this Azure distribution point. So you supply those two values. Then on the next screen of the wizard, we'll ask you which region this you want to host this distribution point in, whether it's West U.S., Central U.S., Eastern U.S., or it's in Asia, or this is in Europe. And then we'll let you go ahead and configure how much disk space you want to go ahead and utilize for storage on the cloud-based DP, and then how much transfer you want to have on a monthly basis, so how much data can be up and downloaded from that cloud-based DP, and then generating alerts when you get close to those values that you're, you know, total storage and total amount of downloads activity you want to have. So very, very simple process. And you just go here and create as many cloud-based distribution points you want to. I don't have everything set up here to go ahead and create one with the subscription, but then they would just appear here. They would also appear as a standard distribution point. You just pick and choose them. Again, we'll show you whether they're on-premise or cloud-based. You control which content you want to store up there and then how much content you want to have being able to be downloaded on a monthly basis because it is a subscription service.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Do you see the Azure-based distribution points being, the usage scenario being primarily for Internet-connected Config Manager clients, or do you see other usage scenarios as well?
We actually do allow you to have a fallback scenario. So let's say your desktop or your laptop is an intranet-based client. So what would happen is the first thing you would do is check to see, is there a local distribution point available for me? If so, you get contact from there like you normally would. If no local, then you would check to see, well, are there any remote DPs available that I can get content from? If not, then we fall back to, okay, I really want this content. Are there any cloud-based DPs that have the content that I can get access to? So we have that capability. Now, just because of the fact that this is a charged service, you may not want all of your users to be able to access cloud-based DPs. So this is actually a client setting. So if you go to client setting, what you would do is go here and create a custom device setting, and we'll just call this Keith Clients. Oops, got to spell clients correctly. And then I pick the option for cloud, go select cloud, and designate whether or not you can access cloud-based DPs. So I'd say yes, access cloud-based DPs. And then I would take this setting and I would go ahead and deploy it to a collection of those computers that I want to be able to access my cloud-based DPs. So I can control who can access these, which again means incurring costs for me, being the subscription service. So I get to have some control over which clients can access the cloud-based DPs, and then I get to control as an admin which content is up in that cloud-based DP. So give you some pretty good capabilities for intranet-based clients as well as the internet-based client scenario.
Oh, great. Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's really nice being able to control that down to just perhaps the relevant subset in some organizations of users that you want to be able to use the cloud-based distribution points for.
Yep,
for yeah, great, great. For so for Windows Azure cloud-based distribution points, you had mentioned that that was specifically for software deployment, but I know there's also been some changes in software update points as well with SP1. Can you step us through that?
Sure. One of the biggest things we've changed in Service Pack 1 as far as software update points and the redundancy or high availability you'd mentioned before is the ability of having multiple active software update points in a single site. Just like in the product we in Config Man 2012, we allow you to have 10 management points per site. We now allow you to have 10 software update points per site. And these can even be over untrusted Active Directory forests, which was one of the biggest areas we had kind of a blocker for people, is that we didn't support that scenario in the RTM. We now are supporting that in Service Pack 1.
Okay.
So very simple process. You would just go to site configuration. You would go and go to your software update point, whether it's an existing computer you want to use, like I'll use in my case, or create a brand new one. You do a add a software update point. We want to add site system roles here. Let's go to our server, and we'll do add site system roles. And then we'll go to the next screen, and here's our software update point. And what you'll see differently here in Service Pack 1 is this is the same screen you would have seen before in the RTM product. Here's your proxy and account information the same. Now, here's the point where we would have asked you by now, is this going to be an active software update point or not? We no longer prompt you for that because all software update points now are active. Previously, you could only have one active software update point for the intranet, and you could have one active software update point for the internet-based clients, like a DMZ scenario. But now all your software update points are active, so we don't ask you that. You just specify your sync source and how often you want to synchronize your updates, how you want to handle your supersedence rules, and now what products and classifications and languages you want. And bingo, you've now set up a software update point that is an active software update point. Now if I want to create another one, I just go create site system server, and I go ahead and give it that software update point role again. I'm not asked whether it's active or not, because it's going to be an active software update point. Now what clients do, clients are going to look for a software update point just like they look for management points. They're going to query for one in the current forest that they're a member of. So if I have clients in a remote forest that's untrusted, I can put a software update point out there. When they do their query, they're going to find that software update point in that same forest they're in. Mm-hmm. Now, you have multiple software update points in the same forest, then what we do is we'll check and see, well, my client's an HTTPS-based client, has a PKI certificate. I want to have a secure software update point, so give me an HTTPS-based software update point. If I have multiple of those, or we're all just running HTTP, then it's just random selection which software update point I get. So I have multiple software update points available, helping distribute the load, and there's some failover in case one I've been using before fails over, falls down, I'll go ahead and pick a different software update point. And they're all considered active software update points. So
great scalability,
as well as failover redundancy scenarios now.
That's great. Thanks so much for sharing that demo with us, Wally.
Sure, you're more than welcome.
Thanks so much, Wally, for those great demonstrations and overview of the new infrastructure features that are available in SP1 of System Center Config Manager 2012. I know that's going to make a world of difference in terms of the deployment flexibility and management flexibility for a bunch of IT pros that I've been speaking to in the enterprise. Today, you've been watching a TechNet Radio show regarding infrastructure enhancements in Service Pack 1 of System Center 2012 Configuration Manager. We talked about hierarchy expansion, hierarchy migration. We went through the process of deploying Windows Azure Cloud Services-based distribution points, and also walked through the process of deploying multiple active software update points to provide more availability and bandwidth available for software deployments and updates within a System Center Config Manager 2012 environment. Thanks so much for watching today's TechNet show. We look forward to having you back with us during our next show, where we cover more SP1 features in System Center 2012 Configuration Manager with Wally Mead.